It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to read the rest of the chapter of chapter 13 from verse 12 down through verse 18. And so please that you'd open your Bibles and read along with me if you possibly can. I hope so. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the Pastor Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. You'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, you'll find us at Parkview Bible. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com. parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you'd like to visit our website, and I hope that you do, we have many messages, Plan of Salvation, our Constitution, all is found there. We'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that now is enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. As we love looking to the Word of God and enjoying the Word of God, it's so important that we trust in the Lord Jesus and we look to the Lord Jesus for our strength and for our power. And I just ask that you'll recognize the need to study the Word of God. And now we'll begin to read Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. Revelation 13, 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Hope that was enough, that you enjoyed reading. Hope there was enough time for you to open your Bible to that place and read along with us. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. It is just so important, Father, that we hear your precious word. And as we study the book of Revelation and we look at these times, it is so important, dear Father, that we will take our time, that we will enjoy your precious word, that we'll let your precious word touch our hearts and just change our lives, Father. We need to have a personal relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we will attain that and have that if we invite him into our hearts to save us, because he died on the cross of Calvary to save us. Oh, that we just believe. We just come by faith to the Lord Jesus and are saved. And then, Father, follow in baptism, because that's the first command after we're saved, not for salvation, but to testify what's happened in our hearts. And then begin that wonderful walk and that wonderful service to you. Father, guide and lead us now as we search these scriptures. And these scriptures are powerful concerning what is going to take place in these last days. And so guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses, and we find with the 11th verse, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast." Okay, so we have two beasts now. And the first one, if you'll remember, and we've kind of covered some of this last time we were together. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." I'm verse 1, chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat of great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered at the beast." They worshiped the dragon. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of understanding of the first beast. And then another beast here in verse 11, "coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds were healed." Now, we're going to kind of start there, and it is powerful. The second beast rules in Palestine. He becomes the minister, so to speak, of the first beast. The second beast is the one who deceives the world and labors untiringly to put all religions of the earth into the hand of Satan. And oh, don't we see that today? The devil is working so hard and so furious to put all things together that he compromises the word with using different versions of the scripture. He compromises the word by joining together all these groups today, and they're all under a general term of Christian. And that is not so. Only if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and you have trusted in Him for your salvation, are you a Christian. All other beliefs are if you have connected it with works, anything else, then you are not a Christian. It's pretty simple, but most people miss it. The devil is working very hard to get us sidetracked and turned over, just to compromise a little bit, just enough to leave the gospel. And that way, if you leave the gospel, then the power is gone. The power is gone, salvation's gone, everything has left, and then you find yourself. You find yourself in a place of being just religious and not being a Christian, a born-again Christian. There is something here. There will be one world church. I'll let you know of that. And it is not the true church. The true church, again, is born-again believers in the Lord Jesus. But there will be a one-world church. It is coming. It'll be a false church. There is something that both of these beasts here have in common. Revelation 19:20, "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." That will be something through eternity that these two will have in common. They will find themselves in the lake of fire through eternity. Sometimes, you know, it seems like we're fighting a losing battle. But we're not. We are definitely in the minority. But we are, and always will be, the victors on the winner's side, on the Lord's side, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't ever forget that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, no matter how dismal, how bad things seem, please understand. If God be for us, and He is, if you know Him as your Savior, who can be against us? Not any worthy foe, that's for sure. The devil's the prince and power of the air. Today, he is the god of this age. And that's the reason that there's so many different religions and so many different religious folks, and they are so deceived by what they believe and what they do and how they walk and talk. But the day is coming when he will be stripped of all his power and be placed in the lake of fire. That time is coming. He has been leading poor souls into captivity for 6,000 years. The place of captivity is a place of torment. And there are millions and millions of people in this place of torment. And if the Lord Jesus would take His church away today, rapture His church, in 1,007 years, 1,007 years from now will be the time that they'll be taken out of this place of captivity, this place of torment, and placed into the lake of fire, their eternal home. It will come. So sad. The first three verses of chapter 13 really refers to an empire that is built. And then verses 4 through 10 kind of clearly tell us of a person, the dictator of this empire, the leader of the Ten Kingdom Federation. The second beast here that we're looking at in the 12th verse and 11th and 12th verse, the second beast is a person, not a literal beast, but a beastly person, a beastly human being. This terrible and mysterious beast has many names. We find in the Old Testament, King of Babylon, Lucifer, the little horn, the king of fierce continents, the prince that shall come, the willful king, all terms of the Old Testament that describe this beast. Now in the New Testament, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked, the Antichrist, the beast. Jesus clearly spoke of this when he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's John chapter 5, verse 43. Today, folks don't want the truth. They want to go to what seems like a kind of a country club atmosphere. They call it their church, and they say they are so pleased and so happy, and they learn so much. Yet the word is very seldom spoken, and it's all built around activities and excitement in that manner. Music, it is not the church that the Lord desires us to have. He wants us to come together and to study His Word, not to come together and be entertained. Today it's entertainment. That's the reason I call it the country club church, the country club style. Is that something that you have gotten used to and you would prefer to have versus coming and having the truth? well, I, you know, you hear it today. Don't want to hear the that just preaching, a dry preaching. You know, I don't like that. I don't want those old hymns. I bet you don't. And I question whether you're saved. Because if you're born again, truly saved, your soul should not like that. But if you've been around it so long, I can understand. You get used to it. And instead of enjoying the Word and enjoying those old hymns that are so powerful in their message, you're used to a beat. You're used to reciting something, maybe in a chorus that you recite over and over and over again and get you up. I don't need that. I have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's within my heart. And when I read His Word, it strengthens me and it empowers me, and it is wonderful to serve Him and praise Him. I do not need the excitement of the drums and the guitars and all the things that seem to surround the religious circles today. I don't need this monstrous church with the big screen. I don't need all those things. I don't want all those things. I want the Word of God. And that's what we have. That's what you're getting right now. You're getting the Word of God. This group that would rather receive their own than receive the Son of God shouts out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him. Give us Barabbas." Barabbas is a picture of the Antichrist. That's what the religious leaders wanted in their day, in the day that the Lord Jesus lived here on earth. And today, I'm saddened to say that there will be many, many today that prefer the Antichrist than the Lord Jesus Christ. In days past, they have opened their arms unto false teaching and false leaders by the, again, music that they desire. And they call this Christian rock something that is good. It is as evil as any rock music has ever been. It's evil. It is taking us away from the Word of God and God's power and strength. Please, return to what your grandparents, your great-grandparents, I hope they were saved. And they would be sick today if they would see how that you worship, I'm afraid, if you're involved with some of these mega churches. God gave us the local church, not some big entertainment. He gave us the opportunity to come together and learn His precious Word. The Lamb of God in Revelation 5:6 has seven horns, seven being the number of divine perfection. The Lamb of God has all power, is omnipresent, you know how I have trouble with words. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. All-powerful, all-knowing, and all places at the same time. Please forgive me for my difficulty in reading from time to time. The false lamb, the Antichrist, has two horns. Immediately that shows us and tells us that he is very limited in his power. The two beast, the second beast is also called the false prophet. Has two horns like a lamb. Realize that, recognize that, like a lamb. Not the Lamb of God, but like the Lamb of God. But his voice is like a dragon. He best not open his mouth. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he speaks of love and forgiveness and power and strength and an opportunity to have our sins removed from us and power to walk each day. Now, this second beast, when he opens his mouth, it's like a fierce dragon. So both spiritual and moral ruin is the aim of the dragon. And so today we see that in its fullness. We see a desire to destroy all truths and to come to a spiritual side, to a feel-good side, and in the process all will be destroyed. Rome and Jerusalem are the centers for Satan's program. Rome and Jerusalem. His program will cover not just that region, but the whole world. The second beast is so mighty and so powerful that he makes fire come down from heaven onto the earth. He does it right in the sight of man. Everything is set for this miracle worker, this liar, this deceiver. This beast will have power, will have great power. You want to fill the church? You go the devil's way because it's the devil's crowd. But when you fill the church, change it, please. Don't call it a church because it's not. The church is a place for believers. But this country club, this social group that you have gathered together, is all built up on feelings and upon emotions, and it has no hope. The hope that they promise is a lie, is a false hope. The wonders, the miracles, the music, the, again, choruses that they repeat, the chants that they use, again, it's all things that are done in the nightclub form so that it sucks you in. And I'll guarantee you people will come and people will bow down and say, that is the greatest experience I've ever had. Well, you've had an experience, all right, but it's not with God. It's with the god of this world, Satan. That's who you've just had an experience with. I hope you're proud because you've just been deceived. You've just been lied to. Let's have a Bible study. Let's come together and hear the word of God. Let's come together and sing those beautiful old hymns and have our hearts changed by that. Not just our emotions moved, but our heart changed. Preach the gospel. Tell folks how to be saved. People don't want the truth, but the truth, the word of God, is the only means of setting us free. Free from your sins, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But if you really want to be free and enjoy life, then you need to trust in the Lord Jesus. Seek after his way. Follow him, please. Look to him. Remember these two beasts now, they're going to work together. They work together very close. And these beasts will not come on the scene until the tribulation period. However, his workers are busy at preparing men's hearts and ways. 20 years ago, the people that I know, I would have never guessed they would have been deceived by such religious practices. And today they're involved in them, they're right in the middle of them, and they think it's just wonderful. They have been lied to by the devil himself, and they have forsaken their God. Out of these two beasts, the first, being political, will be the leader of the most powerful united kingdom that has ever been on this earth. That's what the first is coming. He will be bold. He will be the greatest blasphemer that has ever lived. And we hear so much today blaspheme God. It's a terrible, terrible conversations that go on today. The second beast will have no, I guess, royal authority outside of Palestine. He will use the power of the first beast, the political one, and bring about his wishes of getting all the people on the earth to bow down to Rome and worship the great beast, who was wounded unto death, but miraculously come alive. I told you he had power. The second beast will have no military power of his own. The military power will be turned over to the first beast by the dragon, the devil. The second beast is much worse than the first. He influences men religiously. He is out to destroy the soul. You can live in a very corrupt world, but as long as you have your Savior and you know Him in your heart, nothing in this world is going to be that bad for you, no matter what happens, even if you're martyred, because you're going to go home and be with Him. But the one that has the ability and takes the ability and leads them into idolatry, the worst level in history, he is the one that tampers with the soul. And he is out to get yours. And unless you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, he has it. He already possesses it. It's your decision to come to the Lord Jesus. There is no universal salvation. You, personally, have to say, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. This one will demand that men worship him. This one sits in the temple in Jerusalem and announces publicly that he is God Almighty. It's been reported that the Jews now have every stone cut, ready to rebuild their temple the moment they take over the temple area, the Temple Mount. This is where the Mosque of Omar stands right now. The Jews now are in position and in possession of their land near the Temple Mount. But they don't have it yet. Why don't they possess this yet? Why don't they have this as their possession? Because if they did, they would begin to build. And it's not time. It's close, but it's not time. The second beast is the one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He opposes him and he exalts himself above it. And also all that worship the true God. So that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we're going to begin there next time we come together, because that place, we need to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read there come next week. Time goes so fast. I am sure glad that you've joined us today in this study. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you have trusted in Him today. But I'm going to ask you a very, very important question. And that question is, what are you going to do about Jesus?